It's America's 250th birthday, and I'm going to shop the furniture America's waited 250 years for at Bob's Discount Furniture. At Bob's, they've got ultra-comfy power reclining sofas with genuine leather seats, stylish dining sets with convenient lift-top storage, best-selling bedrooms with over 700 five-star reviews, and a feature-packed pop-up sleeper sofa with built-in shelving, charging, storage, and those signature Bob-opedic seats. So, stop in or shop online at Bob's Discount Furniture. Where America shops for furniture.
Hey, this is Richard Deitch, the host of the Sports Media Podcast. If you're interested in what's happening with all the places where you consume sports, the Sports Media Podcast has you covered.
I've been turning down interviews all week. Hoda Kotb reached out, Oprah, George Stephanopoulos. So I said no. I was booked on the Deitch Podcast before the Taylor Swift phenomenon. I must live up to my responsibility.
Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
I do want to get into some John Henry discourse. I've got some screenshots of these quotes so I can read them to you. So there were kind of three major notes here. He says that we are committed to the city, the region, so the Sox are not going to come up for sale. We generally do not sell assets. He says he and his wife live and work in Boston. Sox are not coming up for sale, at least so John Henry says. He held firm on the club's decision to avoid spending heavily in free agency, suggests that fans have unrealistic expectations. The quote was, because fans expect championships almost annually, they easily become frustrated and are not going to buy into what the odds actually are, 1 in 20 or 1 in 30.
So why not? Why try? Why try? Our odds aren't great. Why try?
And then lastly, he suggests that Tom Werner's comments, the full throttle comments, are overblown. He said, quote here, Werner's comments overshadowed every other word, paragraph, and interview of the winter because it reaches so deeply into the false belief that many fans and media have that you should mortgage the future each year for the present. You have to base acquisitions and dispositions on the future, not the past. That is unpopular generally. So, I mean, we have so many different places we can start with. I don't even think we should bother talking about whether or not he's going to sell the team. Everyone's hung up on that. On Saturday on EEI, we had people calling in, callers into the station that were saying it's time for him to sell, for the people to make him sell, stuff, whatever. It's not happening. He's not selling. They've never sold a team. They've sold like a part of Liverpool, I want to say, but they have never relinquished control of a team. I don't think that's coming. I do want to talk here a little bit about him suggesting that fans have unrealistic expectations, and I want to talk about that 1 in 20, 1 in 30 odds comment. Sammy, you're nodding your head. I had the chance to go off a little bit on radio on this. I want to give you the first word here.
Yeah, that's a huge load of bullshit, if you ask me. Fans have unrealistic expectations. We have expectations that are high because you, John Henry, have set the expectations high with a lot of success from 2004 to 2000, we'll say, 18-ish. Like, of course we have high expectations. And to say that fans expect a World Series every year is simply not true. Of course, we'd love to see them in the World Series every single year. We'd be thrilled. But we are not idiots. We know that's unrealistic. What I want is for them to make an earnest effort to put a good team on the field. I don't want to see Dom Smith batting cleanup ever in my fucking life for the Red Sox. That is beyond pathetic, injuries aside. I want to see them put a good product on the field, and that is not the same thing as saying mortgage the future. That is the biggest load of shit. Out of all the things he said, saying that you have to mortgage the future to make a contender, that's crap. Asinine crap. There are so many different ways that this team could have been good without mortgaging the future. Look at the Red Sox top prospect list. Go 1 through 20. That's a really, really strong system. And on top of that, you have guys on expiring contracts that you could have moved for different pieces. There were a million different ways to go about it. We talked about it all winter long. We lowered our expectations significantly as the days went on. And I don't think it's fair to say that to the fans at all. And by the way, billionaire John Henry, don't fucking tell fans how to root for their team. We expect what we expect. Don't say it's unrealistic. You set the expectation. You talk down to the fan base. You've completely torched all the goodwill that you have. Do you know how hard it is to win 4 titles in Boston, including the one that breaks the curse, as well as the one in 2018 where you're like the most dominant team of all time, and then everyone hates you? He was at the Savannah Bananas game last night at Fenway Park, which we'll get to eventually, and he's sitting in his box surrounded by 37,000 people who dislike him. I hope that feels awful for him. I hope it keeps him up at night. And I hope he changes what he's doing, because right now, I don't even think I'm going to be able to look back on him fondly. All I'm going to be thinking about when he's long gone someday is how he disrespected, condescended towards us. I don't even know. Is that even a word? Condescended? I might have just made up a word. But you get the point. I'm rattled right now. I hate this guy. So, yeah, screw him. I hate that he said that. And it's the funniest thing in the world that he did this interview over email. And I guarantee you that Financial Times sent him the article for him and his team to read before they put it out, which means that he thinks that that makes him sound good, because there's no way that this dipshit would have signed up for any sort of interview without saying like, yo, I get to approve everything that you include, and I'm going to do it over email because my spine has been missing for years and I can't find it. And I'm like a noodle now. That's how I feel about John Henry. I'm not a fan. I'm not going to like him when he's gone anymore at this point. He has a lot to do to make up the bridges that he's burned.
Bro, that was epic, man. That was epic. That was great.
Let's go Sox, dude.
That was great. Jeez, man.
I broke my rage toy doing that. I have this little squishy thing that I squeeze. I just fuck it. It's leaking now. You owe me a new cube, John Henry. Mr. Ratburn looking dick.
Yeah. I thought the interesting part of the quote was 1 in 20 or 1 in 30. Because no. The way that looks at it says that you put all of the teams into a hat every year and you pick a team out of the hat and that team wins the championship. That's not how it works. How have the Red Sox won their 4 championships? Each of their championships was won by spending money, at least in part. Obviously, like 07, a lot of homegrown guys. I mean, honestly, all of them, a lot of homegrown guys, but particularly 07 and 18, I want to say a lot of homegrown guys there. So I get it. You got to do both. But they've spent a lot of money to win those championships. It is not a put the cards in the hat and pick one, and whoever is picked gets to win the World Series. No, you can improve your odds by spending money. No one is asking you to mortgage the future. I don't think a lot, obviously there are fans that want you to go out there and trade your big three prospects to get as many good big league caliber players as you can get on the roster today. But smart fans, people who are in tune with the team, who know the farm system, no one's asking you to, as he says, mortgage the future. People, what a fan like me, what I want him to do the best you can within your control to put the best product on the field that you can at any given moment in time, which means spend up to the tax. I understand that there are going to be years where you're going to duck it to reset it. I understand that there are consequences to going over the tax and staying over the tax and going over the tax by a good amount. So I'm not going to ask you to do what Steve Cohen is doing and go nuts on the tax every year, because I understand that that is not good, obviously, for his bottom line, but also for team building. But at the same time, there is no justification for when your team has straddled 500 for the last couple of years to not spend up to the tax. You can get into the playoffs by signing the right player. Had they signed Teoscar Hernandez, had they kept Justin Turner, and I know Turner has struggled, but I personally don't think that he would be struggling in Fenway Park in Boston with this team. I don't think he would be. But regardless, if they'd added another bat, if they had maybe pushed forward and signed, there are pitchers that they were interested in that signed elsewhere and are having good seasons. Seth Lugo comes to mind. Had they pushed forward and signed him, there are moves that the Red Sox were interested in making and they didn't.
But Gordo, so we spoke a lot about how one of the things the Red Sox needed, aside from pitching, was a right-handed bat, because we figured Justin Turner is not going to come back. They go out and they get Tyler O'Neill, who we like, solid player.
We said it after they got Tyler O'Neill too. They needed multiple.
Yeah, true. But that's a whole different story. But anyway, the guy they went with was O'Neill. Tyler O'Neill has been in Major League Baseball since 2018. He has played 100 games one time. So that's who they get. And he's been on the IL multiple times already, and we're in early June. That's what you get when you cheap out. They try to go, he had one great season in 2021. Let's try to capture lightning in a bottle. And this is not an anti-Tyler O'Neill thing, but that's not the guy that you want in the middle of your order to replace Justin Turner coming off of 100 RBI almost season with 20 home runs. He was awesome, and you didn't replace him.
To that point too, if you are going to go that route, you have to reasonably back yourself up. If Tyler O'Neill is going to be, you got to have depth. And to be honest with you, they actually have reasonable outfield depth. So I guess that I don't know if that's the place I'm going to I'm going to channel my anger, but I am going to channel it at the
right-handed bat. It's less so the outfield. Yes. It's more so the right-handed bat.
Yeah, they needed multiple right-handed bats this offseason. They got Tyler O'Neill. They were relying heavily on Trevor Story to bounce back. Obviously, he goes down. We have no idea what he would have been offensively.
That was
year.
A shit plan, too. You want Trevor Story hadn't hit for three fucking years.
And he was the three-hitter.
He was their three-hitter. Exactly. That's a terrible plan, too. There was no good plan. They had
that's
a bunch
because
of
he didn't greenlight the spending because he is fundamentally incorrect on how he views Major League Baseball. The Tampa Bay Rays poisoned his mind because he thinks that you can just run out any random team and that team has a chance to do anything because it's baseball and it's random. It is random to an extent, but only to an extent. You have to have talent. You have to have depth.
And name me what? Look at all the recent World Series winners. All of them have invested. And people go, even the friggin' 2015 Royals, which is like the lowest money team to win in the last like 15 years or so. Even they had like Johnny Cueto they added, and he was in his prime at the time. Zobrist was a really good player at the time. They added Wade Davis, a great closer. They went out and they supplemented their core, and they didn't spend over the moon. That's all we're
they
look
spent
what they
prospects.
Did this year, actually. Look at the Royals. Look what they did this year. A bunch of mid-tier signings. Reminds me of 2013 Red Sox. Filled a bunch of holes with good players, nothing insane. Or, alternatively, be like the 2018 Red Sox. You have everything you need. You're one piece away. Go fairly big. JD Martinez, boom, win the World Series. It's not even that complicated, and we're not asking for them to win the World Series. We're asking for them to field a competitive team.
God, that's yes. That is really the crux of it. No, fans are not sitting here saying you have to win the World Series every year. You have to get to the World Series every year. All we're saying is that we want a competitive team with players that I think a lot of people want to see reasonable named players on the field. I think like we could get buy with lesser names if they're producing. But I think a lot of fans want to see names and they want to see the team win.
How about
and
the rotation?
It's not the World Series.
Rotation
it's getting
look.
To the playoffs.
Yeah, and look at the rotation, though. These guys are so lucky. The organization, the front office, is so lucky that this pitching staff has performed. Because before the season, we all agreed you have three guys in the rotation that you're not sure if they're major league starting pitchers. That's insane to me. And luckily, it's worked out, you know, decently, not the best, but that's nuts to me. Tanner Houck wasn't even supposed to be in the rotation. Injuries forced him in. He's your best pitcher. You don't get credit for that. John Henry's not some genius. I know that he probably
John Henry,
know who Tanner Houck is.
John Henry gets credit, in my opinion, for putting, if you put the right people in place at the top, aka the Craig Breslows, the Sam Kennedys, all that stuff. He gets credit if he does that right, and he gets credit if he spends money. He did not spend money. That is. I'm not going to give him credit if the organization finds they discover something with Tanner Houck, or they go out and they discover Cooper Criswell from outside the organization. Whatever. I'm not that. None of that goes to John Henry. That's the front office. Joe, I want to ask you. Tom Werner's full throttle comments. John Henry says that those are overblown and they overshadowed every interview that happened this offseason, and that fans expect the team to mortgage the future. Give me your take on that one.
That's BS. That literally, you could give me any quote that John Henry gave me, it will be total BS, because this all goes back to the attentiveness that we've talked about in the past couple episodes with Sam Kennedy's comments about underperforming, overperforming, doing that comparison. And as you teased it, John Henry going to stuff other than Red Sox games gets even more irritated. It makes you like, is he really in tune with the fans? Like when he goes to these events, he sees that the park is filling up for an entertainment baseball team or for a concert or for a comedy show. He sees that fill up. And as you said, Gordo, it poisons his mind to invest more in that than in his actual baseball team. The one thing that actually made him even more of a billionaire than he is now. So attentiveness, because I guarantee you when he had this interview, he probably just did a quick Google search, looked at the numbers and the stats, looked at the players and thought, okay, that's exactly where it should be. So the big issue for me is attentiveness and the fact that he's just straight up lying. He's lying because did name me one person who actually had World Series expectations, and name me one person who didn't believe Tom Werner when they said they're going to go full throttle. Does anything other than full throttle, is the meaning of full throttle mean we're just going to step back and do exactly what we've done? No, full throttle means you're literally putting your foot on the gas, going from 0 to 100 and doing everything you can to get from point A to point B. And for the Red Sox, point A is mediocrity. Point B is a World Series championship. He hasn't even moved an inch on that line. So the fact of full throttle, attentiveness, my people in my position can't win, it's a load of garbage.
And you know what's funny is he knows he's full of shit. He's not an idiot. He knows he's completely full of shit. That's why he does this stuff over email. Because if a real media member from Boston were speaking to him face to face and he said Tom Werner's full throttle words were overblown, the follow-up question would be, well, what did they mean? And he would have no answer at all. He would just talk in circles and would make him look bad. So that's why he's probably not doing it. I'm just like, I'm no, so
he was
sick
scarred.
Of how,
he
like,
was scarred for getting booed at Winter Weekend in 2023 when he stupidly said it's expensive to have baseball players. That's the truth. That is the truth.
He's a total wiener. And this guy, this could have been one of the most famous, beloved. He's a wiener.
He's a wiener?
Yeah, just a friggin' sentient wiener. This is a guy who could have been beloved. He was beloved in Boston. He could have been looked at as a hero. Yeah, he was sort of a dick sometimes, but man, John Henry really changed the Red Sox for the better. And he did. And now he's taken a fat steaming dump on everything he's done. Do you know any Red Sox fans who still like stand up for him and like him? And no. And before you answer, I personally think I gave him quite a long leash because he had done
Remember when we argued last episode about the villain list that John Tomasi put out? We were arguing if John Henry even belonged on that list.
Right.
Well, yeah. Well, I've changed my course.
It's crazy. He set the bar himself. Like, he's like, fans expect World Series every year. And it's because for so many years they were in it. They were World Series contenders and they won 4 titles. So props to him for setting that bar because it's impressive. But the bar has been lowered. Like, people are not expecting World Series. People just want to see him try, at least from an ownership perspective. Because obviously there's what can the owner do and what is, like, Steve Cohen. I'm not in tune with the Mets, but I find it hard to believe that Mets fans are blaming Steve Cohen for what's happening. I don't think they would be stupid to, because he's doing everything in his power
just don't
to get the organization back. We just want you to try. And yes, don't be condescending. And to comment on Tom Werner's full throttle thing again, I don't think it's overblown because he flat out lied. They flat out lied to the fan base. That's why it's not overblown. You can't lie to the people that you're asking to spend some of the highest prices in baseball to come see your product and not have it be a big story. So
I don't think part of it is lying. Part of it is also that he might just think that Red Sox fans are stuck in the past. Like, he thinks that they might be stupid and they're clinging to these 4 world championships and don't see sort of the big picture of, yes, like, guys like the 3 of us and Pat know that no one's going to have sustained success forever. But the idea and that rebuilds are going to happen. But Henry is a guy who probably is of that mindset that he believes that the fans believe, as he said, or as he believes, they're going for World Series every single year. He's expecting that fans aren't happy with rebuilds. No, we're satisfied with rebuilds.
If
it happens for a year, exactly, a year or two.
Right. They used to do that. They mastered the art of the, you know, the peaks and valleys in a league designed for parity, where they would bottom out and then they would come shoot right back up the rear.
Hell yeah.
They're coming back up the rear.
Yeah, they would come back up, but they would bottom out, come back up, win the World Series, or at least be very competitive. And look, there's like, that needs some nuance. You should be technically trying to win the World Series every year, but there's levels.
They did it within their power. Like, all John Henry can do is spend. And even in those years, like 2014 and 15, when they weren't competitive, they still had really high payrolls. They don't have a top 10 payroll anymore. That is where the issue is. And another thing here, the last part of it, of the last quote that I read, is you have to base acquisitions and dispositions on the future, not the past. And that's unpopular generally. That kind of doesn't really fit in with the rest of his quote. And I feel like there's a chance that what is Kenley Jansen to,
then? What is the signing of Kenley Jansen then?
Dude, wait, what is he talking? He's obsessed with the future. Buddy, you're 74 years old. You were alive in the 40s.
Can
Stop
I tell you
about
what
the future?
Can I tell you what I think he's saying with that quote? Because this is a guy who even before the whole 2019 and beyond, when he's had this change of philosophy, he always was a little bit gun shy on pitchers at or approaching 30. That's always been a thing. That's why John Lester left. They've just always been gun shy about that. I think he's looking at Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell and the production they've had this year, and that quote might just be his little way of slightly dunking on fans, being like, you guys were focused on past production. Meanwhile, we're focused on the future. We're going to find guys who we think can break out in the future. We're not going to pay for past performance. In the end, I do think that Jordan Montgomery and Blake Snell struggling is bad for our hopes that the Red Sox are going to spend to put names and a competitive product on the field in the future.
Okay, what do you think of Yamamoto?
Good point. I don't know. I think he thinks that they have a sweet spot of their big expenditures can be outside of like Devers, who's an in-house extension. Like for the most part, their expenditures can be in like the $100 to $180 million range. And the guys who were in target to get that have not performed. I don't think that's because guys like that can't perform. I think it's because generally if you're in that range, your contract comes with some risk. With Jordan Montgomery, there wasn't a ton of pedigree. A little bit older. Blake Snell was injury risk and high walk rate. Like these guys were not perfect guys. They were not perfect guys.
That's the thing. There is no perfect guy. And this is the thing when you talk about all offseason long, you do a trade scenario and the person goes, this guy's 30 years old. I'm not interested. Do a different trade scenario. This guy has walk problems. Not interested. This guy's going to be too expensive. There's no perfect player. Yamamoto was the closest you'll ever get to that, in my opinion. That's the closest you'll ever get to a perfect fit. 25 years old, superstar potential, going to be good for a long, long, long time. And he's pitched unbelievably well. And by the way, Red Sox fans, when the team is inevitably eliminated from the 2024 season, we should all want the Dodgers to win the World Series and like destroy everybody in the playoffs, because that shows that spending equates to a better chance at winning. Doesn't mean you'll win, but it sure as shit gives you a better chance than not spending.
Shame on me for like almost like giving John Henry a free pass for not going all out for Yamamoto there. I don't know if you guys caught on that. In my head, I was like, yeah, but he wasn't going to get, we weren't. No, there was no reason they couldn't have put a competitive offer on the table for Yamamoto. I understand if he was going to LA all the whole way, but the Red Sox never put forth a competitive offer. So yeah, shame on me for almost going there. Bad. Shame.
But yeah, that's where I'm at with John Henry, to put a bow on it. I think he's full of shit. I think he's extremely, extremely condescending to the fan base. His comments are disgusting. He doesn't even have the spine to stand up and speak to the fans, the people, the paying customer that made him who he is today. I'm very quickly losing my last bits of respect for that guy. I think he's gross.
The idea that we just want is for, like, we want investment. That's like the immediate thing. We want investment. We want competitiveness. But just from him perspective, because our expectations of him continue to get lower and lower and lower. At least for him, come out and face the music. Come out to a Red Sox game. Speak to reporters, even if it's for 2 minutes. He's not going to do that. But you know how you get yourself better into the public eye? With baby steps. Those are baby steps that he can take to get back into the good graces.
He's going to have to spend money. That's the only way. Like I tweeted this the other day, but there's nothing John Henry can say if he's not going to spend money that's going to put him in the good graces of fans. Because either he's not going to speak, or he's going to speak and he's going to justify not spending. There's nothing he can say.
That's another thing, is if you're saying he's not going to spend money, then why bother being an owner? Why bother not selling the team?
I agree. That's where my head goes. I wish he would sell the team. He's not going to sell the team. He's saying he's not going to sell the team. Tom Werner said they're not going to sell the team at Winter Weekend. John Henry said it in this interview. They're not going to sell the team.
I'm thinking maybe I wonder if he can get bullied because selling the team is a little scary to me, because you could always end up with like a John Fisher guy, and then that's even worse. Not to backtrack on everything and be like, no, John Henry's not that bad. He sucks.
But it can get worse.
So I'd be a little nervous of that. And I'm thinking maybe, like, you can tell by those quotes that he's bothered by everything that's going on, like how people perceive him. So I'm thinking, don't give up, everyone. Keep bullying this elderly man.
I agree. Keep bullying. Bullying works sometimes. So keep it going.
I will never. What's his net worth? John Henry. Was it $5 billion?
I don't know. I don't want.
Yeah, our $5 an hour salary won't match up.
Yeah, sorry, John Henry. I don't feel bad that you're getting bullied by people with your $5.1 billion. You shove it up your ass.
I'm Anna Garcia, host of True Crime News, the podcast. Every week, we bring you in-depth coverage on cases making headlines, as well as those that go under the radar. Tune in for Murders That Defy Explanation, Mystery Seeking Exploration, and Shocking Secrets That Will Leave You Breathless. Each week, we honor the victims by going beyond the salacious in our search for justice. Crime never stops, and neither do we. Listen to True Crime News, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.